Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to focus on Women's History Month, check in with the Minnesota National Guard State Command Chief Master Sergeant, and thank one of our longtime producers for her work on producing Minnesota Military Radio. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Every year, March is designated Women's History Month by presidential proclamation. In celebration of this, I'd like to remember the contributions of women veterans throughout history. Even before the Declaration of Independence was signed, women were serving as nurses and cooks at military camps in support of the Revolutionary War. Their invaluable contributions span the preservation of the Union and two world wars. Despite nearly two centuries of service, it wasn't until 1948 that women were allowed to become permanent members of the military. Having the honor of volunteering to serve was just the beginning. Women service members spent the next seven decades overcoming obstacles and breaking down barriers. During Korea and Vietnam, they deployed to four combat zones and aboard ships. In 1976, they were admitted to four of the five service academies. And by 1993, women pilots were flying combat missions. Finally, in 2016, the Department of Defense opened all combat jobs to women service members. To all of our female veterans and those currently serving, thank you for your leadership, your service, and commitment to our nation. Please join me in honoring these extraordinary women, past and present, as we celebrate Women's History Month.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the open, it's Women's History Month, and we're going to have women on the show all day today, and we're going to start out with Dr. Shelby Setnikar, who is a veteran and a leader in pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And, Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Now, it's great, and we're going to talk about pharmacy and being a doctor, but I want to go back a few years. I understand you're an Iron Ranger.
I am. I'm from Bowabic, Minnesota, up on the Iron Range.
Which everybody that lives in Minnesota knows that's way in northern Minnesota. It has a whole history.
It does.
And some great people from the Iron Range. But when you were growing up, I understand your dad worked in the iron ore mines.
He did.
And were there a lot of opportunities for you when you graduated from high school?
No. And one of the biggest things he told us was, you got to get out of here and do something better. You don't want to be driving to work doing midnight shift when it's 40 below.
And I understand you thought you wanted to earn the GI Bill.
I thought that would be, since nobody had gone to college in my family, we didn't really know how to navigate it. So that seemed like a good option.
So you decided to join the United States Army.
I did.
Were there a lot of women that joined the Army back then?
I mean, I feel there were some. Not, of course, not anywhere near, like, the amount of men, but, yeah, there were quite a few in boot camp and training and, yeah.
I understand that was about 1990 and the Gulf War had just begun, and you got a surprise, didn't you?
Sure did.
What was it?
My first duty station was in Germany, and I was a pharmacy technician. I got assigned to an infantry division, and they told us, probably in November of that year, you're going to deploy to Saudi Arabia. And we did on Christmas Eve.
And how did you feel about that? Another adventure, or is it a little scary?
It was kind of scary because we'd done all this training, and up until then, all the training was like you were preparing for Vietnam, but now we were going to something that was nothing like that. All of our training was not for that, not for the sand.
And before you knew it, you were out in the middle of it, and there were missiles going off and bombs, and what did you think then?
I just prayed that I would see green again. I thought, I hope I can see my family and the little lake I grew up on in green grass, because there was none of that there.
But you got through it.
I did.
And came back, and some months later, you decided to enroll in college.
I did. I went to pharmacy school at the University of Oklahoma.
And this followed up with the pharmacy that you learned while you were in the Army.
Yes. I didn't do a whole lot of pharmacy in the Army because I got assigned to an infantry division, a forward support battalion. So I did a little bit, but I thought I'll just keep going with that. And, yeah, I graduated from the University of Oklahoma.
All right. And now you work at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. How long have you been there?
I've been there 8 years now.
And how is it working there and taking care of our veterans? Because there's a lot of veterans in Minneapolis VA. I think it's over 100,000 of them.
There's lots. It's great. And it's great because I get my health care there, but I also work there. And I get to work with veterans every day. And I feel like it's easy to talk to once they share, you know, like, hey, I was in the Army. You can strike up a conversation and create a good relationship. So I love it.
We're talking to Dr. Shelby Setnikar on Minnesota Military Radio. We've just got a few minutes left in this segment, Doctor, but I understand that you enjoyed that job, but one of your coworkers nominated you for being a trailblazing woman veteran.
Yeah, I didn't know about it, and I was nominated this last year, and I believe there were 394 women nominated and 21 were selected for this Women Trailblazers Award for women that had separated from service, from military service, and gone on to serve veterans and make a difference in veterans' lives.
And you were one of them?
I was. I was really honored.
And you got to go out to Washington, D.C.?
Yes. It was. They treated us wonderfully, did a ceremony at the Library of Congress, and then to the Women's War Memorial. It was amazing.
Great experience.
It was fabulous.
And I'm reading from an article that I saw about that experience. At the end of it, it describes you as humble but strong. This hardworking Iron Ranger continues to serve.
That's right.
It sounds like you really put something behind that. That's the way you feel.
I do. It's kind of where I'm meant to be, I feel.
And now out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, you're in the field where you started your training in the Army.
Right.
And you have to deal with the World War II veterans, the Korean veterans, Vietnam, my era,
yeah,
and everybody since. And there's more and more women veterans today, aren't there?
Yes. It's really nice to see. I'm always kind of excited when I see women veterans. That's kind of nice.
Well, that's good. I'm kind of excited when I see the Vietnam veterans, too. But not so many anymore. We're getting a little older. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Women's History Month, and we're going to talk about pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA. And can you tell me your position in pharmacy at the Minneapolis? What is that?
I am an outpatient clinical pharmacist.
What's that mean in simple terms?
A good portion of my job is chatting with veterans, seeing what medications they need, or educating them on new medications they're getting.
Very good. So I said we're talking to Dr. Shelby Setnikar on Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Women's History Month and pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Shelby Setnikar, who is the leader at pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And we learned that she's a proud Iron Ranger, and she started out in the Army with some exposure to pharmacy, went to college, got her degree, and she's now a doctor and working at the VA. And I've got to ask you, in addition to working at the VA, are you a patient at the VA?
I am.
And how did you get there? Did it have anything to do with the County Veteran Service Officers?
It did. I have a fabulous Veteran Service Officer. One of my mentors passed away. He was a Vietnam veteran. He was a Hamburger Hill survivor. At his funeral, his veteran service officer came up to me and said, "Hey, have you gotten your care at the VA?" And I didn't know anything about it. And so he helped me set up my care, my health care and disability, helped me do all the disability paperwork. And so, yeah, I'm really indebted to him. He helped me become a patient there and then helped me find a job at the VA.
So the County Veteran Service Officer helped you file the claim and
yep,
take care of the claim, see
right
it through, and in addition to working there, you're a patient.
Right. Well, the Veteran Service Officers have all kinds of good guidance for all over the place, it seems.
It's the first stop for any issue
right
having to do with your time and service. Doctor, we want to talk about Women's History Month and the events to include the International Women's Day on the calendar in March. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we are having a ceremony tomorrow afternoon at the Minneapolis VA where they're honoring some women veterans that have had like some significant awards or contributions to veteran health, healthcare.
So there are things going on. I understand you were part of the National Department of Veterans Affairs campaign called I Am Not Invisible a few years back. What was that about?
I think women veterans, I think it's better now, but I think we did feel really invisible because there was so many men and the focus wasn't always on women. And now we have more women veterans than ever. And it's just really kind of to make a statement like, hey, I am a veteran too, and I serve just like the guys. And so I'm not invisible. See me too.
You know, I heard a story a while back when the general public thinks about veterans, they think guys. Of course, right. In Vietnam was mostly guys.
Right.
But there was a story about this husband and wife driving a car, and the license plate said they were a veteran. And somebody came up and talked to the man and said, congratulations. And the woman didn't like that very much because he wasn't a veteran. She was. But it's the first thing that comes to mind, and it's changing. It's my understanding that in the Minnesota National Guard now, almost 25% of those that serve are women, and they're more and more serving all the time. So I think these things are going to change. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system is going to build a new women's clinic. They just finished remodeling the old one. So it takes a while, but society will come around, don't you think?
It is. It already is.
We need to talk a little bit about the pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA because that's where you work and what you do. And I'm a patient out there as well. And getting the medications I need for things like type 2 diabetes and so forth couldn't be easier. But I had no idea 10 years ago that you could do any of that online. Can you tell us the whole sphere of what you can do to help veterans, whether they're old or young? I'm sure there's still some World War II veterans that are saying,
yes.
How can I navigate this?
Yes. So the easiest way, if you're trying to find a Minneapolis VA, is just Google Minneapolis VA. Find the main number. If you call in, you can do your refills by phone. Call the main number. And one of the very first options, I believe, is pharmacy. During the day, you can actually chat with a pharmacist, a pharmacy technician to help you navigate getting refills. You can also do it online. You can sign up for what they call as a My Healthy Vet account, where you can message your doctor. You can do all of your refills on there. You can track and see when they're coming in the mail, which is really nice. And if you need help setting up a My Healthy Vet account at the Minneapolis VA, there's people to help you set it up and get your password and your ID all set and show you how to use it. So you can call in, you can do it online, your refills online. It's really easy.
We're speaking with Dr. Shelby Setnikar from the Minneapolis VA Pharmacy on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Doctor, I remember when I first started getting my prescriptions there, they'd send me a prescription, and there was some forms in the package, and I'd fill them out when I was ready, and I'd mail them back. And then a few weeks later, we'd get the renewal.
That's funny you say that. We still do that. You can still mail those slips into the pharmacy. We still see some of that. Some folks choose to do that. So I did forget about that. But you can still do that too. You can call, do it online, or you can mail in those refill slips too.
So that works. And also on the prescription bottles, there's a phone number.
There is.
And you can call in there and get them renewed that way.
Absolutely. You can do it automated or talk with somebody during the day. So lots of options.
But in the last few years, things have changed. Some of it had to do with the pandemic.
Right.
Because the veterans couldn't come to the hospital, so we had to do more online visiting and online communication. And yes. I think the VA learned a lot because veterans showed the ability to adapt to online and doing those things to contact their primary care doctor or pharmacy or specialty clinics.
Yes, and veterans are kind of known for adapting well. We've had to adapt to lots of things throughout our careers.
So. Live in the desert, you bet.
Right, so yeah, I think us employees and patients learned a lot.
So today, if I need a prescription refilled when I'm filling up my weekly boxes, mm-hmm. I just go online to My Healthy Vet and log in and go to prescriptions and check the ones I need and hit a button and thing you know, they come in the mail.
That's right. About order them a couple weeks before you run out and you should be in good shape.
And I understand, according to your annual report there, that a lot of prescriptions go out every month.
There is a whole lot.
Like 150,000
yes.
of them?
Yes.
Just from the Minneapolis VA?
Yeah. It's a busy place.
It's a busy place and technology has changed things. I know that some of the things I get, like insulin, come from, I think, Omaha or somewhere.
Yeah, we have mail order pharmacies, and they're not, some of them are not in Minnesota, so you might get them from other states.
So the message for our veterans that might be listening today, if they're not on My Health eVet, they can call you up and somebody at your office or you mm-hmm. can help them get set up so that they can do this real easy. And yep. once they do that, they're going to find out it's real easy to send a note to their primary care
right.
doctor
they
as well.
They can message their doctors. Yes, absolutely.
Well, Doctor, I want to thank you for joining us today, and thank you for taking good care of our veterans. And I hope you get up to the Iron Range once in a while to
I
see
do.
Your family.
I do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Doctor. That was Dr. Shelby Setnikar from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to another guest about Women's History Month and an event that's coming up. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
Drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. To purchase these plates, visit your local DMV or visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Dr. Patty McNeese is a Workforce Development Representative at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, commonly referred to as DEED, in Faribault. She's also an instructor at the Faribault Adult Education Center, a member of the Faribault and Owatonna Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and she coordinates free retreats for women veterans, which we're going to talk about later in the show. And Dr. McNeese, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
We were talking before the show, so I know you're a Navy veteran. You spent quite a few years active duty and reserve.
Yes, I did. I did 4 years active, 14 years reserve time, and 18 years as an instructional assistant specialist designing training for the Navy.
So that last part, is that still part of the reserve, or is that just related to the same type of service?
Well, I rolled all my military service into my civilian, so I retired with 33 years in serving our military.
And I bet it went quick when you think back on it.
Oh, yes.
And while you were there, you must have gotten some education. You are a doctor.
Yes.
I think you were kind of busy going to school and raising a family and doing a lot of things.
Yes, I was a single mother with one daughter, and she's amazing. And I have an undergrad in vocational education, industry training, master's in instructional technology, instructional systems, and a doctorate in curriculum and instruction.
My goodness, that sounds impressive.
I'm a very rare bird. As an E5, I retired and stopped doing my military service with a doctorate.
That's probably highly unusual, I would guess.
Very unusual.
So two questions for you about your yes. time in the Navy. Why did you decide the Navy as opposed to any other service? And were there some challenging times while you were in the Navy?
Well, the reason I decided on the Navy is because I had Navy ROTC in high school. And I was a single mom trying to survive. And I had an ex-husband who said, Patty, come to Jersey. I'll help you get a job, get an apartment, and go back to school. And me, I went for it because I thought he would help. And 2 weeks later, he threw me into the streets. And 2 days after that, he was in court for custody, showing I had no job, no money, no place to live, and took custody of my daughter. I went into the Navy to provide stability and to get back on my feet, and I got back custody of my daughter when she was 13.
Good for you. That sounds like a setup job to me. But it also sounds like the little bit you've already told us, you missed out on being an officer a number of times there.
Yes, because I wanted to get in as quickly as possible, and I went in as an aviation administration. And then I wanted to go in as the reservist as an officer, and I missed it by 1 year for the Navy.
Just missed it a few times.
Yep.
And so that's why, as you said, you got out with a doctorate, but still an enlisted.
Yep.
Okay. Now, at DEED, tell me about what you're doing at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development.
I'm a workforce development rep. I do resume, cover letters, mock interviews, job search assistance, all courtesy of the state to support the unemployment. And I am talking to folks every day trying to help them get back to work. I work with my veteran rep through DEED for any of the veterans who come through, and we vet them to make sure that they get connected in so that they can get the veteran priority services they need also.
Now, are you helping some of those veterans to explain their military experience in civilian terms so that the employers can understand what is it you were doing when you're in the military?
Oh, correct. We use something called ONET, which actually transfers your military speak into civilian speak. And then we use different skills on how to get military back onto the workforce. There's a lot of companies that will hire veterans. And so we want to connect them up with their veteran service officers for DEED to make sure that that happens.
So DEED works closely with county veteran service officers to make sure you can work together on behalf of the veteran, whatever their needs might be.
Correct. It's an all community affair for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, county veteran service officers, which should be a veteran's first stop. And then they connect them in with DEED. And if you're on unemployment, you get connected in with DEED immediately to get what you need.
We're speaking with Dr. Patty McNeese on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Doctor, we're talking today about Women's History Month. In your position with DEED and, of course, being a Navy veteran, do you get the opportunity to work with a lot of women veterans?
I do. But that isn't necessarily through DEED. That is through the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Owatonna, and Faribault.
Okay.
And I actually worked for the National Guard for a little bit before I went to work for the state as a recruit sustainment officer. And I met this wonderful lady by the name of Sarah Frazier, who is the chair of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Owatonna. And I got to go through the Women's Veterans Initiative to a retreat, an all-women's retreat up north. And it was amazing. And I was like, how can we bring this to South Minnesota? And so I went to a DAV retreat in South Minnesota, but they weren't including all of the women veterans. And I was like, we need to include all women veterans, just not DAV. So I took the helm and I got past the baton. And about 5 years ago, I started leading the charge because I wanted these women to not only have a retreat, but I wanted them to be connected in with their communities. So we put together a network providers segment before the retreat so that they could connect, and then made the rest of it relaxing. And it's been going wonderfully for the last 5 years. This is my fifth year doing this.
Now, can I assume that when women get out of the military, whether they're married or not, if they happen to move down to southern Minnesota, do they feel a little bit isolated and separated from other women veterans?
Absolutely. It was interesting because the last retreat that I held, or two retreats ago, I found that there was a woman in Slane I never knew was there. And you go out to these rural communities, and I live in a little bitty place called Madison Lake, and you don't know who your veterans are. You don't know what the veteran organizations are around there. And it was a way to have a community connect and collaborate in order to bring these women together to help them to find their benefits and do a camaraderie so that we can take care of one another.
Now, Doctor, for most men, veterans, historically they go to the local VFW or the American Legion or, you know, the veterans clubs, and there's lots of other men veterans, and they can easily meet each other. Are the women a little hesitant to do that in southern Minnesota and other parts of the state?
Oh, absolutely. Because these women come home and they're in rural places. They don't know who their fellow veterans are, number one. And then sometimes they get a little uncomfortable in an all-male world. So walking into a VFW or any of these other organizations is a little bit difficult. And transitioning back into civilian life is even more difficult.
And hence your desire to pull them together and help them. And what we want to talk about now is the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Southern Minnesota Military Women's Retreat for 2024. It's a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Owatonna project. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. At this retreat, we have the network providers event at first. We have music therapy, art therapy, and we have a keynote speaker coming from the VA to talk about women's benefits. We have archery, hiking, fishing, and it's a way to connect and relax. And we do this all by donations. So the people who've donated is 23-0 came up with our deposit last year. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had a retreat. And then all of these different organizations came together, such as the DAV, the VA, and United Way. They all came together and donated, along with a couple of VFWs and some local DAV chapters, to make it happen.
To provide the funding. Now, you've been doing this for a few years. Are the ladies coming together? Do they find out about it? Do they enjoy it?
Oh, yes. And in the last couple of years, we've had the National Guard, which is as a pilot program, and it turned out fantastic. These National Guard women got a lot of this because they're transitioning out, and it really helped them to connect with other women veterans and their community.
And, Doctor, we just got a couple of minutes left. Can you tell us, where is it going to be, when is it going to be, and are there openings?
There are openings. We have openings for 55 women. We do pre-registration. That's going to open up very shortly. And it's at Mount Olivet in Farmington, Minnesota, on August 16th, 17th, and 18th. And if you would like to donate to any of the any organizations would like to donate to us, you can send the funds to the Owatonna Chamber of Commerce, 120 South Oak Avenue, Owatonna, 55060. And make sure you notate that it's for the women's retreat. Otherwise, it goes into the general funds of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And we're excited. And if anyone would like to nominate a woman, she can nominate at the smnwmr2024@gmail.com. And
so you remember that it's Southern Minnesota.
Southern Minnesota Women's Military Retreat 2024.
Now, you're looking for the women to sign up, or are you also looking for volunteers and donations?
We're looking for women to sign up and volunteers and donations. We're halfway through our fundraising, and we've got half the money.
And one more time, the dates?
August 16th, 17th, and 18th, 2024.
And it's located where again?
In Farmington, Minnesota at Mount Olivet.
So for all our women veterans in southern Minnesota, check that out and get to that retreat. Sounds like it's going to be a great time. Doctor, just a few seconds left. Any other thoughts for our listeners?
Support your women veterans, because we need you, and we need to be able to connect to our community. And I am so grateful to be a part of this show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in and joining us today in the studio. That was Dr. Patricia McNeese, who is a workforce development representative at DEED, and talking about the women's retreat coming up in August. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We have a special guest joining us now, who is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Command Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom. Happy to be here.
Chief, I understand that one of your favorite weekends of the year happened recently, something to do with the Women's Leadership Forum.
We did. So every year for the last 10 years, we had our 10th annual Women's Leadership Forum. And it's just a gathering of women and other leaders. It's not just women. We've gone from pretty much all women attending to down. Now I would say we're about 70% women, 30% men that come to this leadership forum. It's hosted annually within the metro area. A lot of times it's a business. We've had 3M, Boston Scientific. This year we had Medtronic. And what it is we pair up with their veteran service group from these companies, from these big companies, and then they work with us and they host us for the day. And we had the Brigadier General from Croatia, Brigadier General Garasic. She came and she was our keynote speaker. And what a treat did we have. And this was General Clyborn's final Women's Leadership Forum, we believe. She hasn't formally said it, but she got recognized for being the champion for the Women's Emphasis Council. So it was just a great, great day that we all had. And it's a weekend we all look forward to. And as Teg said, he walked out of there just energized and just refueled and ready to serve some more. So it was a great day.
And Chief, we should mention that those three companies that you did mention that have hosted this, they're all Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota.
They are. And so that's where we lean in on our Yellow Ribbon companies to help us with this. You know, Best Buy. It's been just an absolute pleasure to work with these folks.
Great partnership.
Because they're, they're veteran service groups are are our service members part of these corporations? There was two Minnesota Guardsmen, one retired and one currently serving, that were part of the committee that were there. So it was great.
Now, Chief, I understand you're up in Duluth again. We just can't keep you from going home.
I know. I'm like a yo-yo. So today was a very fun day. The Command Chief Warrant Officer, Eric Hommy, and I, and Chief Warrant Officer Lee from Recruiting and Retention came up here to visit with the 94 CAB folks. And so we had about 12 of their leadership team and the three of us, and we sat for 2 hours just in their area talking about some really good topics. One thing I wanted to know with them was, well, what's not going well and what's going well? And the resounding answer for what's going well up here in Duluth is modernization. So they're really excited about these new Bradleys that they're getting. And I asked if it's a retention tool. They don't think it's a retention tool. They just think it's great that their soldiers get to work on some new equipment, new to them. And it's kind of like revitalizing, I think, some of the older soldiers. Like, hey, we got this new equipment here now. Let's really take care of it. So they're super excited about modernization. And it's great just to get out and see people. And then I'm up at the 148th, and I took my Army Warrant Officer friends through their new firing range. And they just watched two F-16s launch. So they are all fired up. I think they have career regrets now as they drive off base that they maybe weren't F-16 pilots. But, we all have career choices.
Did those soldiers understand what they were watching with those F-16s?
Yes. We had a very nice crew chief. Tech Sergeant Gary Weber was their crew chief, and he walked them through every piece of the airplane and then took them out and explained everything to them. So it's really a treat when I get to take people back to my home unit. And the people here at the 148th really just went over and above.
Chief,
so it was very nice.
Sounds like you were recruiting for the air side, Chief.
I'm not recruiting. I'm just trying to keep us all in uniform, sir. That's it.
Chief, there's one thing I have to ask you about in the Army and in the air. There's turnover. Soldiers leave.
Yeah.
They rotate out. They move on. Even on the air side, they move on. Minnesota Military Radio, we've been at this for 14 years, and I met a young lady 11 years ago, was an NCO. She was in Kuwait with the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, and she's been part of the public affairs ever since, and now she's a second lieutenant. She's rotating out. I don't know.
Yes.
What do you do about that, Chief?
Well, I could say we could try and wrestle her into staying, but she's kind of a big deal in, what does she do, jujitsu or something? She's rather in shape, so I don't think, Tom, either you or I should try and wrestle her to keep her here. So instead, we'll just treat her with great kindness and appreciation for all she's given to us and just hope that she'll come back. She might come home. You never know. But yet it's great for us to send our Minnesota soldiers and airmen out there into the big world. And so they can go out and tell our story. And they're all still part of our story. Even though they're not part of our unit anymore, they're still part of our story. So she'll stay connected to us. I know she will.
And as is the custom, it's the next soldier, the next airman up, and we're just hoping that the next one can do half the job.
Right, exactly. She will be missed, though. She will be missed.
Yes, ma'am. Chief, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, who was the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Minnesota Military Radio has now been on the air for almost 14 years. This is our 723rd show, and I would remind our listeners that it's produced by the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and, of course, iHeartMedia. And going back to the original shows, we had public affairs personnel from the Minnesota National Guard, the MDVA, and the VA working with us for most of those years. And most of our listeners will remember Sergeant Ben and Sergeant Johnny. They were our producers from the public affairs office over at the Minnesota National Guard. But way back in 2011, the first time that we took the show on the road, I went to Kuwait. And the reason we went to Kuwait was because the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team was over there under the command of Colonel Kerska. And there was a young NCO there named Lindsay Williams, part of the public affairs team, and she was over there doing videos and all the things that public affairs do, and that's the first time I met her. And she's joining us today. Lindsay, I'm glad you've got the microphone ready to go. Would you say hello?
Hello. Hello, Tom.
Do you remember when we came to Kuwait to do that show?
Oh, I sure do remember. And, I was not a young NCO. I was young Private First Class Williams.
Oh, okay, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time
2011.
Ago.
And it was quite a deployment. You were helping pull all of our troops out of Iraq. Very, very successful deployment. Of course, Colonel Kurska is one of the tallest people in the Army, and he's since retired, and he's a brevet bringer general now. But I remember first sight of you and him. You were leading a 5K, and you were carrying the flag, and way out in front, and off you went.
Yeah, yeah. Even then and now, I was kind of known for just loving fitness. And so then Command Sergeant Major Paul Herr said, okay, no, I believe it was First Sergeant Paul Oak said, all right, you're going to carry the brigade colors. So I went out and I carried. Those things were as big as I was, bigger even. So carrying that for a whole 5K behind Colonel Kurska was a fun challenge.
And you're relatively short, and he's about 6'10" or something. And
yeah.
It was quite a picture. But the first time I met you, and you were doing some great work over there with those videos to tell the story of our First Armored Brigade Combat Troop soldiers over there. And when you come back from that deployment, we put you to work, as I recall, helping us build the Minnesota Military Radio Network.
Yeah, that was perfect, because at the time I was just a traditional guardsman. I was a college student, and it was very much a good part-time effort. I was able to work remote and just kind of continue to grow the program and reach out to these radio stations around Minnesota and say, hey, here's our program. Are you interested in carrying it? And it was really a fun, unique job to have at that time.
And we took the program from just two stations in Little Falls to now 67 stations that carry it all over Minnesota. You've been a big part of that. And you keep leaving us, though, because you go on these deployments, and then a while back, all of a sudden, what happened to that NCO, Lindsay Williams? She went away for a while, and here comes back Second Lieutenant Lindsay Williams. Wow.
Yep, I went and commissioned, and for those who don't know, public affairs isn't something you can branch into when you commission. It's a different type of career field, and so I branched field artillery, so I'll be going off to my basic officer leaders course at Fort Sill and moving on to Virginia after that. But I'm excited for the new adventure, and I will say it is very bittersweet to leave all the years I've spent here with Minnesota Military Radio. This has been a very rewarding job and program to be a part of. And it's been fun going to other schools and places around the country to tell them about this show. And everyone's just in awe of what it is. And the fact that you don't find something like this anywhere else. There's nothing like it in any active duty installation or anywhere else in the country. So, I'm going to miss kind of seeing it continue to grow and thrive.
Quickly, you've been a huge part of this, as when you were at the last time, while that you were an NCO, and now that you've been an officer, you were the senior producer, like herding cats. You're chasing down the guests, you're tracking everybody down, you're running the equipment, you're helping us put together the show, and fortunately we've got Zach Halverson here that helps us from an engineering standpoint, but I don't know how we could have done it without you. You've done a magnificent job.
I really appreciate you saying that, and I will say, like I said, it's been very rewarding. It's fun to have the technical skills. It's fun to have to be connected to so many different people from so many different state agencies, and being able to really be tied into the different events that are going on, to the news of what's going on with our veterans and service members here in Minnesota. And, I always joke that I was good at public affairs because I'm just a little bit inherently nosy. So it's gonna feel different not being completely tied into things. But thankfully, I'll get to keep listening to the program and feel a little bit tied in.
Well, I hope so. And the fun part, kind of the byproduct of doing the show, is we've connected lots of organizations, the veteran service organizations, all the resources that are out there to help our troops and their families, and the Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA hospital. We've kind of pulled all of those people together, and it feels like, to me, being here for the full 14 years, they're all working together a little better than maybe they would, don't you think?
It does feel that way, and I know that some of that is really going to strike me hard when I'm somewhere other than Minnesota, because I just know that this place is unique in the fact that we do have that coalescence here. So hopefully maybe I can bring some of that to wherever I go.
So for our listeners behind the scenes, now Second Lieutenant Lindsay Williams has been invaluable to the show, but there's a concept in the military and in the Army. It's the next soldier up, and unfortunately, as you move on for new adventures and move on and eventually get to be a general officer, we're going to miss you here helping us with the show. We hope you stop back once in a while, And we got just about a minute left. What has it meant to you, the last since 2011, to be part of the public affairs, part of the Minnesota National Guard, a Red Bull, and part of this military radio show?
I have been so fortunate to be part of something so unique, and it is so heartening to just sit here and have this conversation with you and hear from the command chief and hear from so many peers and folks that I've worked with, whether it was on a single project or on a day-to-day basis, how much they appreciate my work. And it's great to feel like you are making a difference, like you're really a part of something. And I couldn't be more grateful to the teams of people I've been able to work with.
Lindsay, speaking for myself personally and on behalf of Minnesota Military Radio, enjoyed my time with you every minute. I'm going to miss you personally, and we're going to miss you on the show, but we wish you all the best of luck on every future endeavor. I know you're going to knock it out of the park and do a great job, so good luck to you. Stay in touch. Come back and visit us once in a while if you haven't gone too far to forget us little people.
Oh, I'm not going to forget anybody here, Tom. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That was Second Lieutenant Lindsay Williams, one of our longtime producers on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Shelby Setnicker from the Minneapolis VA, Dr. Patty McNeese, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Second Lieutenant Lindsay Williams, Commissioner Brad Lindsay, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mackey. Please join us next week as we conduct this year's Spring Preparedness Show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.